I realized I needed to start the recording.
And that's why you disappeared on us.
Yeah.
Yes. So, anyway, what was I saying? We had a bunch of resources that came through a regional review camp in June, and then we have some 300 and some that are going to go. We kind of expect on the order of 250 to come out of this round of review. And so that plus the 60 will get us up there. But then they'll go into the collection as they're cataloged, and that's not. I mean, cataloging them is not a real quick thing. It takes a lot of time because we take all the reviewers' comments and create those annotations, teaching tips, and extra information about the science. Suggestions about the pedagogy. Sometimes there's something wrong with the resource that's not terrible but needs to be addressed, and those kinds of things go into the annotations. And so that takes some time to put together. So it'll be a few months before all the resources get in there, but they will accumulate as opposed to being just unveiled last year.
Tamara, as a person that's trying to advance some of these credible resources in all the right ways, the search facility, it's still very confusing for me, who's been on these calls. I think I'm on my one-year anniversary now. To really know what to log in, I mean, where to really... I'm looking at climate change education projects. Is that the big umbrella for what you've done so far? By grade level, by project scale?
You shouldn't be, you know what, Scott, we should have on the Climate Literacy Network webpage a link to the Clean Pathway Collection.
Yes.
That would make a whole lot of sense, Scott.
Well, that's a discussion for tomorrow, I believe, but yes.
Even no matter what we do,
yes.
The Climate Literacy Network page, because people come directly to it,
yes.
There should be a link there to the collection.
Yeah.
Because it's a different site. It basically, if you take the Climate Literacy Network page and take the CLN off,
right.
You get right to the collection.
Yeah.
And then there's a.
All
this. And then there's the second thing is search the collection, and then it's quite clear. Now the other thing that we're going to be doing is we are going to put together a 30-minute webinar, which we may even pilot on one of these calls, that just gives an overview of the site and shows people how to use the various aspects of it. Because we're going to be doing professional development around particular essential principles for educators, and you'll be able to find that on that that site also. But what we want to happen is we want educators to come back to multiple ones. So the first one is going to be about Essential Principle 1 in September, and the second one in October will be about Essential Principle 2. And we don't want to have to keep giving the overview of the Clean Pathway site over and over again, because people who come back will get bored by that. So we're going to create a half-hour webinar just about an overview of the whole collection, which we'll record and put on the site so that people can view it. I think we're also going to make a 5-minute version screencast overview so that, again, people can learn what the different aspects of it are quickly. So that people could easily figure out what it is. But I hadn't really thought about before that there's not a link on the Climate Literacy Network site to get to the Pathway Collection, and we should put that.
I'll put that in.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm just looking for real clarity in the links and what they offer, so that you know the lay people accessing these resources aren't like going, okay, what do I click on? Where is it? You know, it just needs to be.
Okay. Well, if you want, you want to go to the page, I can walk you through some of the Clean Pathway.
Well, I don't think on other people's time, but I think when you do the webinars, when I will be taking notes. But I also, I also think, you know, a lot of it is intuitive if you play in it long enough.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been in it for a while, then you sort of like, hey, start over.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, that's what the webinar is about. And I've had some practice. I did a workshop. I did a 45-minute presentation about the portal to a group of teachers in Santa Fe, New Mexico, a little over a week ago at the ESA Federation meeting. And that worked out really well. And so it was kind of interesting. I did it as a series of PowerPoint slides in which I hid most of the slides, and what I really wanted to do was show the live site. But you know, you always know that the internet can be flaky. So I had a bunch of slides as a backup that were screenshots of the site, which is not nearly as good. But then I had the teachers actually doing it with me. So I, you know, told them to search themselves as I was searching it so that they could look for things that were of interest to them. So that gave them a little bit of experience. So you're absolutely right, Caroline, to play in there a little bit. And that's what we'll do on these webinars, is that we will do that with using Illuminate so that people can see the screen, but then they can also try it out themselves at the same time.
Correct.
And then we will record them so that people can look at them even if they can't come to the webinar.
And the other thing that I want crystal clear in my mind, and I really think it might be a terrible question to be asking you, you're going to lose a lot of respect for me if you had any, but what's the best link for me to send to people right now?
If you want them to be able to access resources, it's thecleannet.org.
Right, thecleannet.org.
Right.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is, because this has been confusing to people, is you see how right now the Climate Literacy Network site is cleannet.org/CLN?
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to integrate this page into, on the cleannet.org site, the third item on the left is a community. We're going to integrate the Climate Literacy Network site into that part of the Clean Pathway site so that navigation is a bit clearer. But how we're going to do that, we're still working on deciding.
Well, at least you're on it. You're on the right thing. It just needs to be so intuitive that accessing the wealth of stuff in there should have the right titles. And I hear you and Scott talking it through and... I kind of wanted to share something I've been doing with the CLEO project on climate change communication.
Okay.
And get some advice from you all. So I have an adult task force and a youth task force that are going to be sort of spearheading climate change conversations and initiatives in an engagement model that leads to education. Much of it's self-directed, but also opportunities to learn from scholars. So one of the first steps I did is I gave the youth task force leaders, say about 10 high school and college students that are self-identified, rabid, want to make change in climate change, I gave them 4 pages of websites that I had culled from all of you and for the past year and, you know, everything from slideshows to web addresses to so on. And I had put them in some categories like deep knowledge, communication hooks, skepticism, the audience you're dealing with, communication techniques, and so on. And so they have a responsibility August 10th to give me their top picks in each category. And I cannot tell you how profound that self-directed learning has been for these children. I mean, they're not children, but... they thought I was giving them a 5-hour assignment. Well, there are 5 weeks. They're getting goose pimples over this video. They want this one up front and so on. So my question is this. We're going to come up with a group of student handpicked or student preferenced resources for all the climate communicators that we engage to be able to access to get more information. I want that list vetted by some pros. I don't, you know, there's a part of me that feels learning at any level is better than none at all, but I don't want a clear red flag website or activity out there, and I don't think I could ask you all to put your name to it, but I was wondering if I could put it out there so anybody could flag something that I shouldn't have on a list of potentially credible resources. We're not putting them out there as must-see sites. we're targeting them as adult task force and youth task force selections and for consideration, you know. So how would you
You could certainly send it to the Climate Literacy Network list and see if you get any input. The problem is that having somebody to spend the time to go in and look at each of them
is really difficult.
I mean, what
But if you have a few, I guess what I would do is I wouldn't send anybody 10 pages of stuff. You might say that if they pick a total of 10, you might send an email with a list of 10, very simple with what the name is of it and the URL and any other kind of organizational information, but very, very short.
We have a one-line summary above each website so they know the source and the basic topic.
Yeah, well, but my point here is that what you want is for somebody to recognize it and say, yes, this is great, or no, that's bad. And so you want to give that the title, the organization, and the URL in a very brief email that somebody doesn't have to really read through but recognizes at a glance if something they know is bad. So you might sort of send that short email with that list and separate each one by blank lines and ask, give that little paragraph description of how they were selected, and you'd like a high-level pass on whether people know that these are really good sites or whether they know there's something seriously wrong with any of them.
Yeah, I'm much more concerned with seriously wrong than, because, part of knowing thy audience is allowing them to access the comfort level of the way things are said and displayed and so on. So I like lots of choice. I just don't want to have a real lemon in the group there and not know it.
Right.
But thank you.
Well, you do it in a brief way that gives the kind of information that somebody who would be knowledgeable about it would recognize right off the bat without having to look into it all that much.
Yeah, like, you know, for example, Tony, Lisa with Yale, it says Yale. I have one-liners explaining the source and the focus of it on top of the URL. So I kind of have what you're saying I should have. I'm just, I'm really looking at scores of, say, like maybe 100 of them. So I'll just maybe do 10 that I want some blessings on. And the other question I have is, will CLN Clean, will we have that too, web resources that we think are credible?
Well, one of the things, we're not vetting web websites, just general websites, because those are so big and so dense that it's really hard to develop a review criteria around them. Although we are talking about identifying and reviewing background materials that directly address the essential principles. We're talking about doing that in the third year of our effort. So that would be background information, not necessarily, which could be obtained through the web, but isn't a website. Like, for example, my good example of this is the NASA, Laura Tenenbaum's website,
right.
The NASA climate change website. That is huge, and
right.
It's great, but it's not something that we can review. First of all, it changes all the time. So it's not within the activities of Clean to do that. However, if there are, and we could do what they've actually done, which is if there are a few websites that we, in our judgment, think is really, really good, we could have on the Climate Literacy Network page, not implying it went through the Clean review process, but we could have on the Climate Literacy Network page suggested websites that we think are good. And
okay,
keep that to a relatively small number.
I'll tell you why. I think, that whole discussion of the deficit model and the engagement models, when we were talking about a year ago on that, the resources that you all vet and have peer review on are incredible, but they require a teaching-learning environment for the most part, or self-direct. I think a lot of people are getting their climate change thoughts, reactions, images from these websites. And so I'd much rather have them playing around a NASA website than, you know, something else, for example. So
Well, first of all, the nature of the collection is going to change dramatically because the first round, the ones that you see were all activities. But in this next round, we have videos, visualizations, things that are much shorter. And so these are the pieces that we call them useful bits. And so then podcasts
and will they be under that
like
heading?
That.
I guess.
Yeah, you'll be able to sort them by whether they're an activity or a visualization or a video.
Right.
You'll be able to sort them out like that, yes.
All right, now can you hurry up?
The review campus next week.
I'm just really excited to be able to share this, you know.
The review camp
is
next week, and I'll tell you, I'll tell you, I've actually looked at some of the ones I'm supposed to review, and they're good. They're good.
Well, that's great.
Scott's been doing a lot
I
of them, too.
Ring off, because my husband just called to tell me that he got launched from jury duty, so yay for him. He doesn't have
a okay.
So I have to go pick him up.
That's
good.
Great,
good hearing your voices.
Bye.
Bye.
No, thank you for answering all of these questions for me. I just
that's
for a few weeks, so I just, you know, you're doing great work. It's more than ever needed as we push these engagement opportunities. And, you know, these kids and these young professionals, they think in such small sound bites. They really are a product of Facebook and Google and all these things.
Yeah.
And you know which video has the most impact? Because I have several videos and images and before and after stuff, too, that the kids are culling. They love the Suzuki one, the test tube. Spend an hour in a test tube because it's short, it has impact, you know. You know the one I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, it's changing the Miami youth. I got it from you all. Somebody in the CLN sent it out. I'm like this crazy person every time I get one of these spams, quickly trying to cull to see if I want to keep it or dump it. So I'll send it to you, but it's pretty much that whole economic about exponential growth and doubling time.
Okay.
And he starts off by putting one bacterium in a test tube, and he does the whole analysis about when do they realize the test tube is going to be full, because nobody was taking on the alarmists back when they were doubling and it was only, you know, in the bottom of the test tube. And when it was half full is when they said, you know, it's just the obvious argument. It's about the scope of our consumption and our growth and everything else. And it talks about when the test tube is half full, then the rest of them realize, oh, my Lord. And then in the next minute, it's doubled. And if they had three more test tubes, how much more time have they bought? You know, and it's just a matter of minutes. So it communicates it in a really... And Suzuki's a wonderful speaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll send that out to you all now, just so you all...
Okay.
I actually have a few of them of my favorite picks. And then this group from the one with the map of the world with the lights coming on for every million people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a drum
mm-hmm.
beat. And then the lights all just go crazy between the 1700s and now. That one, too. These are very visual learners, and they need to... cause and effect is not making sense to them in some ways. And then when you show them the scope of this Anthropocene that we're in, then
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh my God. So anyway, this is what I'm doing. This CLEO project on climate change communication that
mm-hmm.
I'm almost ready for primetime review is really an engagement model that sort of makes
mm-hmm.
a group of youth and a group of adults sort of retaining them to be engagement facilitators,
mm-hmm.
and they are charging them with doing small groups that they are involved with, like their church groups, their youth groups, their work, co-workers at work, and so on. And then when they're ready to branch out, we have a scientist committed to each of them to do a larger... So we're having them find their voice and answering... Everybody's answering the question from their perspective, what's climate change all about and what's my role?
Mm-hmm.
So the project questions is a complete ownership by the individual doing the talk once they've been trained by us and put through some stuff and done some web research. They put together their little talk and pledged to do 5 small groups. And then they can scale up. So the whole idea about this is having people find their voice and find their message. So giving them this wide scope of resources and say, okay, which one works with you and what do you want to use? So some of them just want pictures. Some of them want the AV material. Some don't want anything. They just want to talk. So we're letting them approach it. But I think that's what I'm after. And, you know, I did mine for them, and mine was 20 minutes, what's climate change all about from my perspective and what's my role from my perspective. And part of my role was to hold my elected leaders accountable. Well, that got a standing ovation because, I consider that, you know, being an aware consumer, a smaller footprint as I can do, and then holding my leaders accountable. And you know, they're getting it. And so my whole movement now is energizing that layman who doesn't think it's about them and hasn't found their voice. So I'll be ready to present on this in September or October if the group has a Tuesday opening, because I'd like to get some.
Okay, that'd be great.
Well,
Scott is the one to let know about the presenting in September or October.
Yep, that's my
Scott's going to be organizing the presentations starting in the fall.
Oh, so Marion's off the hook, huh?
Yes.
Well, good.
We're relying on her.
I have your email handy, Scott. I'll definitely
have yours. So I'll chat with you in a couple of weeks then.
And let me ask you something else. Is there any problem with Scott Mandia and his listing of that climate rapid response team that I re-identified and sent out to you all in the last couple of weeks? Remember, I was on about a month or two ago and I was asking about what happened to that climate rapid response team website and none of us could remember?
Yeah.
Well, it came back up when Scott was going after that other Caroline, and everybody knows there's a Caroline Lewis and a Caroline Webb, I hope. So during one of the Caroline Webb exchanges, he had included that, and so I resurfaced it again.
Good.
And I wanted your take on it, you two in particular.
Okay, I haven't had a chance to look at it.
You're a little bit busy, you think? So
a little bit.
But you know what I'm talking about, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I've been sort of following that exchange, and I must admit, I remember you talking about that response thing, but I don't actually think I looked at the new link or the newly recovered link. But I have all of that stuff, and actually all of those messages are archived too, and they go through the listserv, so they are available to us all, whether on our own web server or a web thing, or also on the website.
See, my big frustration is I can't stand finding something and not being able to find it again, and the plethora of incredible resources. I mean, at some point, I just got to take a deep breath and use what I have. But some of them, and this whole rapid response team, I want to give that out to everybody in the CLEO project, so that when they read articles or they hear the news, that they could use that directly. But I want to make sure that it's credible. I mean, Mandia could not be doing anything non-credible, I don't think. I love his work. But I just wanted to make sure, because nobody was responding, and I'm talking, this is all being taped, right?
Yes.
Well, I like Scott Mandia a whole lot, and if he recommends his site, I am going to recommend it. So
yeah, well,
one
of the suggestions that you, Caroline, you had earlier was that on the CLN site that we have a set of websites that are, you know, that we, you know, I don't know, recommend is not quite the right word, but we suggest that people maybe look at. Maybe that's a place to put that. You know, obviously.
Okay, wait. Where would I find that, Scott?
We haven't created it yet, but I'm thinking that we should. You know, that's what you suggested earlier, that there might be a series of websites, including the NASA website. Pathway site. Maybe it is this rapid.
Well, I think that we can. I think we just have to make sure that they're very selected sites, but I think that we could put it on the Climate Literacy Network pages.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but do you see what just happened there? I mean, look, Scott's telling me about stuff that's there that I'm not accessing, and even, you know, and I'm telling you what I want, and some of it's already there. So
yeah.
I just think there's so much great great work happening here that I want to capture it all, you know?
Well, I think, frankly, we don't have the funds to obviously be doing those kind of huge database. That's kind of what we do use Google for, and some of the other websites that have funding. But we can just do what we can do. Small contributions are fine, and especially ones that we're all familiar with and feel quite comfortable with. Certainly the NASA and the some NOAA websites and things are really quite good, and we would recommend them probably unreservedly. But I think that's all we can do. But, you know, if you're collecting...
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Exactly.
Yeah. I think part of the problem
a lot
is
of
me.
Stuff.
The problem is me. The problem is, you know, why not sticking with the site long enough to be so familiar with it, and every time I log back on, I don't have to relearn from scratch. And
the other thing that is so true is that things are changing extremely rapidly.
Yeah.
I know that I've reviewed resources, and one I can remember basically just appeared 3 weeks before I started reviewing it. I mean, there's stuff, you know, from the end of May. There is a lot of really good material just sort of appearing very suddenly. So it's very hard to keep up on all of this stuff. And then, as you said, there's other things that disappear for whatever reason, lack of funding, or, you know, they get hacked or whatever. So it's a moving target. We just do the best we can. And hopefully we have enough resources to work with for our audience.
Can I interject here?
Oh, please.
All of the recommendations that the CLN members are making for websites, I am running past a team of vetters, and if they pass, I'm putting them on our database library.
Perfect.
So you might want to start looking there, too.
Yeah.
Who is this?
This is Laura Keisler.
Hi, Laura.
The address is www.rl.org. And I'm trying to keep up with them as fast as they're spewing them out, too.
Okay, can you just repeat that again for me, the site?
3 W's.
Uh-huh.
EERL.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Environmental and Energy Resources Library. That's why it's EERL.
Thank you
so
much.
Exactly the kind of, you know, what we should do is make sure that we have your website, that website,
right,
up on our suggestions.
Right.
So we don't all have to be doing that and go through your vetting process, and that would be great.
Right, because it takes forever.
Oh, yeah, tell us.
All right. Scott, are you Scott Brophy?
Nope, Scott Carley.
You're Carley, okay. And Laura, what's your last name? I want to send you through this email.
Okay, it's K-A-I-S-L-E-R. Keisler.
Yeah.
All right.
And any messages sent to the website will come to me personally, so.
Thank you.
That's great, Laura.
And too many Scots on this thing, you know. We got Bruce.
Well, there are.
That's fine.
Hey, guys, this is Frank. It sounds like we're starting to wrap down this conversation. Is this a round-robin topic day?
Yes.
Right open.
Well, I just wanted to find out, is it all right if we transition potentially to another topic?
Yes.
I'm good.
Awesome.
Sure.
So I wasn't on the call last week, and maybe it didn't come out in time, but the framework for the next generation science education standards came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent something out, I guess it was yesterday or this morning, about one section.
I got it.
Has anybody, you know, in the group looked at that, or have we talked about it yet, or is this just the first time?
No, we haven't talked about it, but it is probably worthwhile thinking about picking a date to have a conversation about them.
Well, one thing I would recommend is this evening there's an NSTA web seminar that you have to register for with the NRC who are going over what they did. And so there might be value in members knowing about that. Do you want me to send a list around?
Why don't you send it around?
Great.
Yesterday, NAGT also had a webinar with Michael, what's his, Weissison, the person who sort of led the effort.
You're talking about the Earth, well, he was on the Earth team, but he's the one who led the Earth Science Literacy.
But he talked about the entire document.
Oh, okay, cool.
Good.
There was about 45 people on the call last night, or yesterday afternoon. Go ahead and send it around.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, we had a lot of chats back when the draft was out, and we submitted, you know, coordinated comments and all that kind of stuff. And
yes,
so there might be value in us taking a look at how climates came out on the other side. And, I mean, some people were surprised to know that in the chapter that I shared with you guys about design and solution and engineering and science relevance, that a lot of people continue to forget that that's part of climate literacy or science literacy, that it's not just the content knowledge. And, I mean, it's really strongly in the document, but, I mean, it has very sizable implications for education systems because, you know, where does that happen?
Right.
Does it happen in the earth science class? Does it happen in the life science class? Or does it happen in a part of the social sciences department, which is really not even close to well-positioned to be handling that stuff? It's a big topic.
So you think it's in no man's land?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I think it is no man's land, but it's calling, it requires reform that is larger than, you know, just divvying it up with your current faculty.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how it's going to be handled from the systematic perspective, because I mean it requires time, and you know we all know that the earth science teachers are a very small minority of the current K-12 faculty that's
right.
out there who are trained in this, and you know, somewhere in the order of about 25% of high school students take an earth science course. And so a lot of this stuff we're talking about is really critical and core in just, I'm keeping a K-12 focus for a little while. You know, it's just not there. And it's just not going to happen from a time perspective.
Well, I'm looking at the, I'm looking with a garden out in the, on the Claremont School District area, East LA, and he just sent me the California standards. Have you looked at those?
Yeah, they're wonderful. I mean, no one's done the alignment to our work yet that I know of. But I mean, there's complementary opportunities there. That's for sure.
Tremendous, and I think if you're really looking for, because you made a good point. I mean, design is an integral part of climate change literacy and all of that. And
sure.
I think California would be the most ready to sort of. Do we have anybody on this literacy network that's a big gun out there in California that could maybe get the Unified School District in LA or somewhere to take this on, Frank? You know,
Alan
well,
has been part of these calls for a long time. Alan is at the Lawrence Hall of Sciences. His
right.
main program is the global system science stuff.
Right.
And Art Sussman is also out in California.
Sure.
Who else? Cameron?
Art Sussman?
Oh, yeah, Art, of course. Yes, exactly.
But Mindy Fox is the Cal EPA lead for the EEI curriculum. And, I mean, she's very aware of it. I don't believe she's a member. But, I mean, EEI knows about our work, but I don't think that we've necessarily briefed them thoroughly and carefully on how our work could possibly support their work. But that's an open task that could be done. But I think taking a state approach, another state that is Maryland now requires environmental literacy as part of their graduation requirement, mm-hmm. which is one of the first states to do that. So anyway, I mean it's going to be interesting to track how all these kinds of conversations roll if this framework goes to achieve, and then goes out to the states, assuming how this comes out as standards.
Now, Frank, I had a chat with Tamara Houston. Do you know her? Tammy?
Yep. Yeah, Tammy Houston. Yeah, NCDC.
Right. And, you know, I'm designing these engagement models that feed environmental education. And this fellow out in California really wants me to help create a program that sort of feeds that interest. So part of it was like ideas like this, like a solution-oriented steward competition, like the whole climate change engagement discussion model I talked about earlier, the project. But if NOAA wants to, I mean, I think starting in Maryland or California, where there's a state mandate already that might open the eyes, minds, and hearts to design and architecture and you know, sort of an entrepreneurial spirit to this whole climate change thing might be very good. If you're, do you have somebody at NOAA who could work with me on this?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about what you just said, that's me.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not too deep in this area.
Well, here's the other thing, Frank. I mean, the Public Garden Memorandum of Understanding, I had the incredible pleasure of meeting Jane Lubchenco and was madly impressed with her. And maybe we could work through some of the gardens to work through the school districts to sort of make this an exciting component of the California and Maryland, you know, EEI initiatives or whatever. I'd like to play with that because I really do think that they need a platform to sort of come up with designs, and that interest could feed the school's focus on these very things. I know that from the Fairchild Challenge that, you know, the benchmarks and the school mandates just sound very dry and dull, but when you bring this, you know, performance or presentation or showcase or, you know, step up to the plate, show us what you got sort of thing, platforms for the kids and the teachers, they really go nuts.
Right.
So let's think about that.
Well, so, I mean, I think to broaden the conversation, absolutely. But I think one of the things we as a network may want to think about, and Tamara, this is very related to the Clean New England idea, is how to take a more strategic approach for certain regions. If you call California a region, that's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how do we strategically work on something like a state as opposed to continuing to keep it as a national enterprise?
So I would actually not suggest a state, but broader than a state. Like Clean New England is broader than a state because you tend to get locked into governmental lines if you do that.
But couldn't we say we're piloting it in one in particular area or region? Because none of what I want to do is to stay in one place. Everything I want to do is create models that could roll out.
Frank started to suggest that it's similar to what we're doing for Clean New England. Now, I have next to no funding for this, but we basically have got 9 universities across the New England region involved in this connecting college students who are studying in courses climate change to high school programs in which they communicate with each other, connect with each other, and then reach out to the broader community. We're having these university, we're calling them university nodes, but we're having them, we have one that's actually funded, so I have a very concrete model, but the idea is that you take advantage of the activities that are going on in these particular areas and coordinate them better and allow them to reach out further and then to share across the university nodes. And that's the model we've been using for Clean New England. So it's certainly something that you could focus on a particular region because each region has a different has different concerns and different needs.
Right. Tamara, I agree with everything you said. The only thing I would say, though, is when it comes to formal education, that's when that approach falls apart a little bit in the K-12 arena. So I think, while I think what you're saying is completely agree, I agree with it for what you're doing. But when it comes to Nevada and California are next to each other, but I mean you would really want to engage them fundamentally differently when you're talking about the K-12 education systems.
Well, that's true. I mean, all the activities I've been talking about have been informal. They use the venues of the formal education context, but are informal education activities.
Right.
Except for the university. The one we have funded at the university level is a is our courses at the college level, and then the students, some of the students in that class are interns in a summer program for high school students. So it's not curriculum focused. It's a program, a 5-week program for high school students during the summer. And then they reach out further to their broader community. So you're right. I mean, it is not the formal education context.
Right. So I guess maybe the way to characterize this conversation is that I don't know if we ever really thought about having a more strategic conversation in the network. Where we could kind of build a team or focus on a specific piece. We seem to work very ad hoc, which is wonderful, but I think perhaps now that some of the issues we're facing are pretty challenging, and so I think if we knew that we were not everyone had to focus on everything, but if there were commonalities, we could focus together.
I would say yes. Time to sink our teeth into something, right?
I agree also. It's just it's hard once it's hard when the funding is scattered. I mean, so some people get funded and some people don't, and then all of a sudden it's difficult to do that.
Do you think, Tamara, that say NSF would be open to a planning meeting where we kind of developed a rapid strategic document where we, brought people together in some capacity, either through College of Exploration or something, where we did a strategic coordination function? I mean, one of the reasons I'm bringing this up is Martin Storstieg and I and a couple other people have been talking about building a model for civic science literacy with a focus on, the topics we care about. Because formal and informal education are important at different stages to different people, and you value and approach them in different ways. But since we're talking lifelong learning, how does gender play a role in this? How does college education play a role in this? How does your ability or your interest in going to the museums and that informal education centers affect your science literacy? And kind of looking at it more systemically over the lifetime of a person is kind of something that Martin and I have been kicking around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see value in transitioning that to specific strategies. I mean, I know Tony Leisowitz and Ed Maybach and I have been also having very complimentary conversations as well. So anyway, I think that maybe but do you think NSF would be open to a small planning grant like we've done in the past?
Possibly, but I don't. Every time I've approached it, I think with the budget crisis, until that's resolved, the response I get to these kinds of things is wait. But certainly, the budget crisis is going to be resolved one way or another in the next week or so. So it's possible that we could think about approaching Jill. The other point I wanted to make, sort of related to this, is that we do have a set of 7 climate literacy sessions at the AGU meeting. The deadline for abstracts is August 4th.
Right.
So I should send out an email again to the Climate Literacy Network. I sent one out a couple weeks ago. That's one venue. What?
Mark just sent that out, Mark McCaffrey. A lot.
Yeah, okay, so he sent it to the Climate Literacy Network. I know he sent it out to the tri-agency list, but I didn't realize he sent it out to the Climate Literacy. So that's coming up. The other thing that addressing this issue to some extent is that, and Martin knows about this, this is the NRC Roundtable on Climate Change Education is having a workshop August 31st and September 1st for its focus on K-14. And the point is this is not to focus on putting students into STEM careers, but the scientifically literate citizen, the climate literate citizen. I'm on the steering committee for that. So that's coming up, and that will be open. So people who are in the D.C. area, I think, can go. And I'm hoping they'll have a venue so that people can participate remotely.
good.
Yeah,
and that's August
that.
August 31st and September 1st.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, keep me posted on that.
Okay. Scott, you should post that on the
Yeah, I'll just make a note of that.
Page.
Got some particulars,
yeah.
I can put that up.
Yeah. Yeah, and keep in mind the AGU deadline for those of us that are going to be out there.
So, I mean, Tamara, just those two items are spectacular items, and there's also ASEC and NAAA all before the end of December. So, I mean, maybe if we just, you know, how we used to write the climate literacy document where we would, you know, the network would come together and have, you know, informal meetings at each of these events.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that having a strategy document kind of organically built through all the, wherever
we
engage?
That might be good. Through all of these venues, we're going to be at GSA and at NAAAE.
Yeah.
And at AGU.
Yeah. I mean, right after that is AMS and AAAS and, you know, we just slowly build it. And, I mean, Scott, is this something we could build on a Google Doc or?
Yeah. I would do it on a Google Doc. I think that's the easiest thing to give people access to. Maybe what we should do is set up one of these calls in a couple of weeks after this review camp.
Yeah.
But to get it kickstarted, to have one of these calls that kickstarts it, and then to sort of try to have a strategy for having meetings at each of these venues.
Right. Yeah. I think maybe that's the way to go.
Good.
So, Scott, is it easy for you to take everyone's listserv, everyone on the listserv, and kind of add them, create a Google Doc with them as I don't know how to do that.
You don't have to do that. You can make it open, and you can make it open so that anybody that you give the link to, and the links are complicated, so people won't find it by accident.
No.
Right.
So you can send the link out to the listserv, and then anybody on the listserv could use it. Could get in.
Okay. There you go.
So, Frank, can you put together like a paragraph that would sort of introduce the document so that
sure.
we can add to
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, I live and breathe strategic documents these days. I don't know why I still do, but it just seems they keep on coming to me over and over again. So
yeah, I agree. I need something. And
If you can put something, a paragraph together, then I could certainly send it out and get something.
And I'll put it up as a Google Doc.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let me clear some decks in getting ready for clean review camp or whatever we're calling it, and then I'll.
Yes, it's a review camp, Frank. You've got your 15 resources to review too.
60.
You should look at the other 45 too.
Fifteen you're responsible for to present. 45 you can just look at.
And
right.
And we discussed this yesterday on the resource collectors call, and it takes some time. This is not something you can do in the plane.
I'm fully aware. That's why I'm finishing the tagging tool as we speak.
quite a bit of prep. Great.
And okay.
Good.
Okay.
Okay, great. I have to run. This is Caroline, but thanks a million. I look forward to the new results.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. All right, bye. Scott?
Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah.
Can you stay out for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to mention to you, so I got your email about where to put this, and yes, the link to the link to it is at the bottom.
Yes.
And where would I... Is somebody saying something?
Sounded like
okay.
it.
Yeah. So on the Climate Literacy Network page, basically there's a title and a blue line under it, and it says, what is climate literacy? And then the next one says, join the Climate Literacy Network. If we could have a blue line title underlined in between those two that says something along the lines of Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness Network Clean Pathway Resource Collection.
Okay,
you have a paragraph that describes it with a link to it there. So the problem is that way at the bottom, people don't even see it when they open it because it's too far down.
And part of it is you kind of have to know that that link will take you to the collection because it's
the collection. So
yeah,
putting I was thinking of having it a menu item on the left, but I don't want to fool with navigation too much until we have a better handle on how we want to integrate this page into the community page.
Exactly.
The other thing that I'm thinking is that tomorrow, basically a lot of us are, well, you are too, overwhelmed with getting ready for the review camp. It might not be a good time to have a conversation about integrating these pages.
Well, that's true.
Tamara, can I make another suggestion while you're here? I just figured I'd just stay on.
Yeah.
Sorry. The navigation, there's something a little bit, maybe it would be helpful. Right now, at the top, it says CLN.
Yeah.
Is it possible to change that to Climate Literacy Network?
Oh, no problem.
And then where it says down in the under essential principles, it says Climate Literacy Network.
Uh-huh.
If we could change that to about or something else, because what's underneath there are things that don't fall under. I mean, it's saying that these are sub-things of the network and everything else is the network, too. It's a little confusing.
No,
right, that's true.
I would just call that, you know, if you want to call that about, and then activities is a part of about, or you would say, you know, push Climate Literacy Network activities up equal to the essential principles.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
I have somebody waiting to talk to me here.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
So make a decision about tomorrow, whether we're going to talk about this tomorrow.
I can't make a decision right at the moment.
No,
I will figure it out and email you. Okay?
Very good. And I'm going to send you a document right now that I've been playing with.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
That's
right. Bye.
Now.